Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing Rick Warren and him taking an L and acknowledging his L. So that's a pretty newsworthy event because Rick Warren has one of the biggest egos in evangelicalism, if not all of Christianity. What pretends to be Christianity. And then I also want to talk about the Andy Wood, how he struggled session himself over a tweet that was, it's a Facebook Instagram post that was relatively benign and how he's going to struggle session himself. And we're going to go and dive into that as well. So last week, we already talked about the Rick Warren debacle and, you know, I did a live stream on that and talked about that. But we're going to do the follow-up, but first I want you to know, Evangelical Dark Web, Christian news gathering, and commentary ministry. You can support our work over our patron-like system that's linked below. Also, check out Winning Not Winsome, my book. It's dropped in price, apparently. Available on Amazon and other places. Linked in the description below also. So this story I wrote is Rick Warren actually apologizes over Jesus-centrist teaching. So I haven't published this yet, but nonetheless, this is the article. Rick Warren, again, one of the most influential pastors in modern America. He's one of the pioneers of megachurch culture, and Saddleback Church is one of the most influential churches, especially for Baptist. He was the most influential Southern Baptist teacher in probably my lifetime. Purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church had a major impact outside the convention itself, and it was, I would say, mostly bad. I think the evidence is pretty clear that Rick Warren is a false teacher, especially as he's deconstructed into theological liberalism, especially regarding female pastors and sexuality. And yeah, there's a lot of shadiness and wokeness going on at Rick Warren's church. Now, he tweeted this out that they crucified Jesus with 2 others, one on each side, Jesus in the middle. The guys on both sides were thieves. And he said, if you're looking for the hashtag real Jesus, not a caricature disfigured by partisan motivations, you'll find him in the middle, not on either side. And this was just universally mocked. It was so bad that he would eventually delete this. And then now, not only has he deleted it, but he's also issued an apology, which is actually pretty surprising. He says, I apologize. I wrote poorly. I don't believe Jesus was a centrist. He stands far above it all. And then he quotes John 18:36. He says, my kingdom is not of this world, which I think is a little bit of a misused because let's be real. Jesus's kingdom is in this world, not just not from this world, but it is in this world. And that is made evident by the death, burial, and resurrection, as well as Jesus standing or sitting at the right hand of the Father. So this is a rare concession for Rick Warren, and it's definitely noteworthy. So now let's get on to the part two. I haven't done a 2-part video in quite a while, but both of these are Saddleback Church stories. So there's a huge connection here. Andy Wood is the successor to Rick Warren's empire. And Andy Wood is, again, another woke pastor that was hired. He hired him and his wife to replace him because one pastor cannot replace Rick Warren and his greatness. So you had to get a husband-wife combo because they're going a more charismatic direction. But he had a struggle session over a Facebook, Instagram post or whatever, and that is what we're going to discuss today.
My core convictions as a pastor, as your pastor, is to not shy away from hard conversations. So I did a post about the presidential inauguration that led to a number of conversations for our staff. A significant number of people haven't seen the post. Some saw it and were confused. Some people saw it and were upset by it. Some of you saw it and thought nothing of it.
So here we got him trying to say that a lot of people had different reactions to this post. So let's dive into this post and what it actually says. It says, especially for you audio listeners, today's inauguration was beautiful. A number of moments where God was honored and a wonderful prayer, Franklin Graham, pointing the people to the hope of the gospel. It's a moment of history that will mark a different era. There's a divine window of opportunity with this shift in power. Government cannot change the human heart, but the new administration will definitely make more space for our work. So it actually sounds like he's pretty optimistic about Donald Trump. Maybe Pastor Andy Wood is MAGA. I joke because there's no way he's MAGA. But in any case, he's actually going along with the vibe shifters, being carried by the vibe shift. And I actually do like to see that. Even the woke pastors are not going to be clinging on to wokeness as much as they have been. And I'm pretty sure the only other time I've talked about Andy Wood apart from Saddleback Church was how his church was kind of gay affirming and stuff like that. So when he was like at Echo Church. So the question is, will we respond to this open window? How might you ask? By pointing all eyes to Jesus, receiving open doors while refusing to put our hope in a human leader, proclaiming his salvation, loving our neighbor, helping people to know the mercy of God, calling for repentance from sin, and teaching people how to understand and obey the Bible. Believing that will be a great season of harvest for both in our nation and in our world. Dear real Donald Trump, I pray for you that you honor God in this critical role at this critical hour. I am asking God to help you accomplish his intended purpose for your life and your role as our president for such a time as this. And then he says that he turned off comments on this post because he does not like debate. A lot of liberals don't like debate, so, you know, par for the course.
Have you looked at it and loved it? And all of those categories exist. So I debated whether or not to address it. I was actually planning on not addressing it, and I woke up one morning this week with a lot of clarity that I felt like I needed to give to our staff. And out of getting a great response, I felt like it'd be helpful for the church. Now, to humanize the post that I did on the inauguration, I watched the inauguration on Monday, January 20th, like many of you probably did. I was moved by the peaceful transition of power. I was moved by the beautiful prayer by Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. I was moved.
So I got to pause right there. That prayer was absolute garbage. It was woke, you know, Martin Luther King impression. And after the inauguration, he would go on to sell a scam coin because, you know, like the Hawk to a girl, this pastor went to D.C. to make some meme coins and, you know, get a little pump and dump scheme going on. So that's what happened. We wrote an article on Evangelical Dark Web, so you definitely want to subscribe to the newsletter as well so you don't miss stories like that.
Moved by Vice President J.D. Vance being up there, being sworn in with his wife, Usha.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
And their kids. Now, I know there's some debate whether kids should be in an inauguration. I think it was awesome for kids. Stacy and I love our kids to be a part of everything. So it was a beautiful picture of diversity. An Indian American woman standing next to Vice President Vance with his mother who's come out of poverty. It was just a beautiful picture. Now, nobody.
Again, it's beautiful because of diversity. This guy is a woke clown.
I would disagree. Here in the United States, this was a very significant moment in our history, significant election, and moment of inauguration. I wanted to mark that moment on social media. Post it, I go home, we have our friends come over, we have a dinner, and then...
Just for context, I cut it here. This struggle session's about 6 minutes plus, give or take, on the original. This is sped up 1.25, and I cut his diagnosis or his process and how he comes up with a post because that's not germane. And it's actually pretty pathetic that he needs to explain this.
After dinner, I just pull it back open, and there's like 200 comments on my post. And then I'm like, well, certainly it'll die down. And so I woke up the next morning, and there were over 400 comments on my post. So, and then I felt like it was getting very hostile, people against one another, so I just went ahead and shut it down. And there were a lot of strong statements and questions like, well, does this mean Andy's MAGA? And like, people are like asking all these questions, and that's why I felt like I needed to address. So again, perhaps if there was more context leading up to a post like that or a different picture, it would have given less of a stir for some people. So when I met with the staff, what I said to our staff this week is, I created a lot of extra work for you with this post and probably a distraction. And so I just said sorry to them. And I want to say, if I created extra work and my post was a distraction to you, I'm sorry, genuinely, I'm sorry. For our staff was working really hard on lots of other things, and then this was, for many of them, dozens of hours. So genuinely, I'm sorry.
Oh, boo-hoo. A bunch of people with email jobs had to actually work hard. And it's not even that they had to work hard. It's like they chose to work on something that was not a big deal. That was such a benign post. It was not saucy at all. So why is he apologizing over it? It's because this is a liberal church. They have a bunch of Democrats that go there, and he offended them. And he's going to make that very clear. That he's really just struggle sessioning himself because he offended his liberal congregation.
The second thing that I think is probably a bigger deal is that my post created some confusion, and that's what I want to address. Some of you might have been confused about my level of love for people or groups in our church who are having a hard time with the new administration. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I love you. In addition to that, Saddleback has been...
Who's having a hard time with this new administration? I mean, the gays, special people group, or illegal aliens. Who's having a hard time with this new administration?
And always will be a church where people from all different walks of life and background can find hope and healing through turning to Jesus. In addition to that, some of you might have been confused by my post or the fact that I put up a picture of President Trump that I think he's flawless, or that I agree with every one of his actions, and I certainly don't think that or believe that. It's very clear that President Trump is a human. He is not the savior of the world. And all followers of Jesus should have a hard time when the label savior is given to any human aside from Jesus. And there are sins on the right side of politics that need a warning and need to be kept in check, such as greed and bigotry. And these things...
Again, greed. If anything, the neocons are really the greedy people... And the libertarians as well. But when the right's talking about tariffs and, you know, sending people back, that's actually deinflationary, not really being accused of being sellouts for corporate America these days. That's just such a 2006 mindset. But then he wants to talk about bigotry and stuff like that. So a lot of, again, that's the wokeness coming in, that we got to rebuke the right for being bigots against who, by the way. You know, woke or liberal categories or degenerate categories
very easily can creep into thinking or rhetoric and have no place in the life of a follower of Jesus. So from my heart to you, if I've confused you, I'm sorry. Genuinely, I apologize. In addition, I had a couple of learnings I shared with our elders this week. And while I don't believe God is calling us to back away from controversial conversations as a church at times, I do think that stepping into the conversation when it's a difficult one is good to give, for me personally, to give a post just a minute or two or 20 or 30 before sending it out. And then when necessary, get a trusted set of eyes from someone who's both courageous and wise, and then post. So it was a well-intended post, but a well-intended post with haste. So I acknowledge my haste in that. Now with all of those things, saying, communicating all that, one of the questions that I got is, well, why didn't you pull the post down? Why'd you still leave it up? And I did try to change the picture, but you can't do that on Instagram or Facebook. But some of you might still have that question. And after seeking the Lord and praying about it and discussing it with Stacy and the elders, I have a conviction that it is the right thing to leave the post up. I believe we are in a critical hour of the church as a whole in the United States and globally, and the enemy preys on confusion. God works with reality. And God would want to use this moment to cause division. And I believe God actually wants to use this moment to bring our church to greater unity.
So there you have it. That is almost the entirety of the struggle session, minus a clip in the middle. And then I cut out the end where he talks about how his sermon is going to be the message that's going to save the church and provide a unifying message. Because I don't need him self-aggrandizing himself and stuff like that. So anyway, that was a non-controversial post, but he has to apologize to appease the liberals in his congregation that he offended, or even worse, they're not actually offended in his congregation, but, you know, liberals on the internet were offended that a pastor would say something remotely politically benign, because apparently people get offended by milquetoast takes, I guess. There's nothing controversial, yet he's apologizing as though that post looked like it was in haste, and then he's got to punch right because I can't appear too conservative now. I got to lecture them about bigotry. I got to lecture them about rhetoric because Jesus wouldn't have any of that, which isn't really true at all, as we see in scripture. But anyway, this is the leadership going on at Saddleback Church. This guy has much weaker resolve than Rick Warren. Both of them apologize in today's video, but Rick Warren, like, that's a surprising development. Andy Wood, this guy's a squealer. This guy is a squealer. So that's all I got for today. My name's Ray. If you like this kind of content, do also subscribe to the channel, to the podcast. If you are new, stay based. Christ is King, and we will catch you on the next one.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.